శ్రీద్వైత గదాధార సృష్టి గోవర్ధి విజయ శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధకృష్ణ గౌరవిత శ్యామ కుండరాధపతి గిరి గౌరాన్ విజయ శ్రీ వృందావనం విజయ నవరతాం విజయ గౌరవన తులసి భక్తి విజయ అనాథ గౌరీ వైష్ణవ వృంది విజయ సమభక్త భక్త విజయ ప్రణంది ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ నమస్తే సరస్వత దేవ గౌరవాణి ప్రసారణే నిర్వచేషిష్ణ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు వృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే శ్రీ శ్రీ బాబుకాన పచ్చని మన్య సేవాభిరుచి తపస్నాశేషం శృణోతిపాదసేవాచిస్తపస్విన
Shanoti destroys.
Anvaham.
Anvaham.
Day after day.
Day after day.
Edapi,
increasing.
Sati,
being.
Yata,
as.
Padangushta,
toes.
Vinistrata,
emanating from.
Sharit,
water.
Translation: by the inclination to serve the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of God in suffering, man can immediately cleanse the dirt which is accumulated in their minds during innumerable births. Like the Ganges water which emanates from the toes of the lotus feet of the Lord, such a process immediately cleanses the mind, and thus spiritual or Krishna consciousness gradually increases. Purport: in India, one can actually see that a person who takes a bath in the Ganges water daily is almost free from all kinds of diseases. A very respectable Brahmin in Calcutta never took a doctor's medicine, even though he sometimes felt sick, would not accept medicine from the physician, but would simply drink Ganges water, and he was always cured in a very short time. The glories of Ganges water is known to Indians and to ourselves also. The river Ganges flows by Calcutta. Sometimes within the water there are stools and other dirty things which are washed away from neighboring mills and factories, but still thousands of men take baths in the Ganges water, and they are very healthy as well as spiritually inclined, as the effect of Ganges water. The Ganges is glorified because it emanates from the toes of the lotus feet of the Lord. Similarly, if one takes to the service of the lotus feet of the Lord, takes to Krishna consciousness, he is immediately cleansed of many dirty things which have accumulated in his innumerable births. We have seen that in spite of very black record in their past lives, persons who take to Krishna consciousness become perfectly cleansed of all dirty things and make spiritual progress very swiftly. Therefore, Pradyumna Maharaj advises that without the benediction of the Supreme Lord, one cannot make advancement, either so-called morality, economic development, or sense gratification. One should therefore take to the service of the Lord or Krishna consciousness, and thus very soon become a perfect man, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Being a responsible king, Pradyumna Maharaj recommends that everyone take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus be immediately purified. Lord Sri Krishna always says in Bhagavad Gita that simply by surrendering unto him, one is immediately relieved of all sinful reactions. As Krishna takes away all sinful reactions of a person immediately upon his surrender unto him, similarly, the external manifestation of Krishna, the representative of Krishna, who acts as the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, takes all the resultant actions of the sinful life of the disciple immediately after the disciple's initiation. Thus, if the disciple follows the principles instructed by the spiritual master, he remains purified and is not contaminated by material infection. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore stated that the spiritual master who plays the part of a Krishna conscious representative has to consume all the sinful reactions of his disciples. Sometimes the spiritual master takes the risk of being overburdened or overwhelmed by the sinful reactions of the disciples and undergoes short tribulation through their acceptance. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore advised that one not accept many disciples. Translation: by the inclination to serve the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of God, as suffering humanity can immediately cleanse the dirt which has accumulated in their minds during innumerable births. Like the Ganges water which emanates from the toes of the lotus feet of the Lord, such a process immediately cleanses the mind, and thus spiritual or Krishna consciousness gradually increases. So, the previous verses were talking about the authority involved in this, the instructions. So here he directly glorifies the process itself, and that is the process of serving the Supreme Lord, yet pada seva. So by developing that inclination or taste for serving the feet of the Lord, one is immediately purified of all contaminations which have accumulated over many, many births. And this increases daily. And the example is given of the water of the Ganges, which flows from the toe of Vamanadeva and comes down into the material world on the earth planet and flows around and purifies. So this example is often given, how the river or the water of the Ganga purifies, and how the process of
bhakti purifies. The example of the Ganga water, of course, is given, but then it says gradually in some places, whereas the process of bhakti is immediate, so it's even quicker. So here it says sadyakshanoti, it immediately destroys the contamination in the mind. So the process of bhakti, therefore, destroys contamination. So this is one aspect of bhakti, but not the only aspect of bhakti. It is quicker, this process is quicker, how to destroy contamination. This is a quicker process than the process of jnana or yoga. They also destroy the contamination. So this is quicker. But this is not actually the goal of bhakti, simply to destroy contamination. If we destroy all the contaminations, then we get liberation. But that is not the goal of the devotee. So this happens as a side effect. Just as when you eat, there are many effects. Of course, the main effect is your body is nourished. So many other side effects are there. It has a good taste or whatever, and it fills the stomach. So in the same way with the process of bhakti, there are many side effects to the main effect. So one of them, of course, is that it destroys all contamination, sins, karmas, ahankar, etc. So the main effect, of course, is increased attraction for the Supreme Lord. In other words, increase of bhakti. So the result of bhakti is simply bhakti. That's the main process, main result. So the perfection of that bhakti is called prema. But it is not different from bhakti. So that increase of attraction for the Lord and service to the Lord is the result of bhakti. That's the main goal of the devotee. Simultaneously, attraction for material things decreases. Ahankara is destroyed. Karmas are destroyed. So this allows the devotee to leave the material world. When everything is destroyed, then he has more karma. Then he can leave the material world. But because of his attraction for the Lord, he does not get merely liberation. He goes to the spiritual world and serves the Lord, because his main goal was service. It says here, Pada Seva, to serve the lotus feet of the Lord. So that is the main process that is happening here. And as well as that, he gets out of the material world because all of the contaminations are destroyed. So the idea here is that the contamination, destroying the contamination, is something which is easily performed by the process of bhakti. There's no extra effort required for that. Whereas in the process of jnana or yoga, the main effort is to destroy all these karmas and contaminations, control the mind, etc. So why this process is different is because the main problem for the jiva is his inclination. What's the inclination of the jiva in the material world, which causes all of his karma, etc., is his inclination to get some enjoyment for himself. So the process of jnana and yoga is ultimately to get rid of this inclination. No more desires. Make the jiva stop desiring everything. How do they do that? They control the mind. Stop the senses. Stop activity. So we stop all these functions of mental functions and the senses and the body, etc. And then gradually the atma also begins to decrease its propensities. But it's a long process. In the process of bhakti, the inclination of the jiva is not stopped. It is merely redirected. So instead of directing the interests of the jiva for himself, interest inclination is directed towards the Supreme Lord. So, in other words, the process of bhakti does not stop the inclinations and desires of the jiva, but directs it to a wonderful object, the Supreme Lord, who's all attractive. And when that happens, gradually, one's inclination for enjoyment of the material world decreases. It must decrease. So the more one has attraction for the Lord, the less one's attraction to enjoy the material world. It's automatic. So when one is completely dedicated to the Supreme Lord, then he has no more material attraction. So without striving to destroy material attraction, it is accomplished simply by developing full attraction for the Lord. So that is the process of bhakti. And in doing so, then karma is destroyed, desires are destroyed, sinful actions are destroyed, and ahankara are destroyed. All these things are destroyed in the process. So that is why in the Nectar Devotion, Rupa Goswami, he says that these ignorance is destroyed, karma from ahankara, papbija, or desires are destroyed, and karma is destroyed. Four stages of karma are all destroyed by the process of bhakti. Not because bhakti is purpose of doing that, but simply because one is dedicating oneself to the Supreme Lord. So all whole root of karma, etc., which is the ahankara, disappears. Ahankara functions because we have a desire to enjoy. When that stops, what is the use of ahankara? It doesn't exist for us. The center is the Supreme Lord. So automatically, the subtle body and all the desires and etc., they're all destroyed. So that is the how the process of bhakti works. So here it says, ashesa janma vachitam malam. All the contaminations that have accumulated, piled up for unlimited births, are destroyed immediately by dedication to the Supreme Lord. So we may wonder how that can happen, but it can happen in the case of Ajamil, when he chanted, he named his son Narayan. Immediately all his karmas, past, present, future were destroyed. Ashesa Jalma Bhajada Mala, all was all destroyed immediately by uttering the name Narayan. Whereas to do that takes many, 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 many births of doing jnana or yoga. So comparatively, the process of bhakti is easier. Of course, simply destroying karmas is not the goal, nor is it complete success. Because we can destroy the karmas themselves, but if we have desires, then we'll commit more sinful acts and get more karmas in the future. And then we have to take rebirth again. So not only the karmas have to be destroyed, but the desires have to be destroyed, which cause the karmas. So if our desires are directed to the Lord, our desires for material enjoyment then will decrease. So, therefore, not only are karmas destroyed, but desires are also destroyed. And behind the desires, avidya, which is the cause of ahankara, is destroyed also. So all of this takes place through the process of bhakti as one dedicates oneself to the Lord. So this is the therefore the recommended process to perform bhakti. So, of the processes of bhakti, chanting the name is the most powerful. So therefore we have the example of the accidental chanting of the name of Narayana will destroy your karmas immediately. So, of course, all the processes of bhakti are powerful, but the chanting of the name is the most powerful of all. So in this way, the recommendation of the Bhagavatam is simply to dedicate oneself to serving the Lord and engage in the chanting process. And as we develop our inclination towards the Lord, then automatically the contamination of the heart decreases without any extra effort. Whereas that is the main effort in sadhana processes. So the bathing in the Ganga is a way, a famous way of purifying yourself of sin. So a lot of people go to the Ganga to get rid of their sins, the karmas, etc. But again, that is also not the main effect. Bathing in the Ganga also has a positive effect of creating bhakti, because it's association with the foot water of the Lord, like prasadam. So again, it is also the increase of bhakti, which is even more important than the destruction of the sin. But many people don't realize that. So they think, oh, that would destroy all my sins so I don't have to suffer anymore. Go to the Ganga for that reason. But just like chanting the name accidentally, so bathing in the Ganga also has this effect. Gradually, it produces bhakti for the person. So, but it may be a gradual process. Just as Ajumil chanted the name of Narayan many times, he didn't develop it, he didn't become a devotee. He would, at the end of his life when he died, he still wasn't a devotee. It was only with the association of the Vishnudutas that he became a devotee. So it may take some time for the process of bathing in the Ganga also to actually create devotion. But certainly, it's gradually things are taking place. So the karmas get destroyed and then the bhakti begins to increase. So if one, with devotion, chants, then of course the effect is quite different from accidental chanting. If we chant with faith, then the immediate effect is increase of bhakti, along with, of course, the destruction of karmas. So it is a much quicker process than accidentally chanting. And this goes for all the types of bhakti. Accidental bhakti is okay, but to do it with devotion, intentionally, is a much more powerful process. And if one does it purely rather than with mixed devotion, then it's quicker. If one does it attentively, avoiding aparadhas, it is quick. If it is mixed with aparadhas, then again it's slowed down. If it is done with correct knowledge, then it is quick. And if it is with incorrect knowledge, then it is slow. That is called namabhas. So, to do the process of bhakti and chant the name in the best possible way, we do have to have knowledge and of the philosophy and knowledge of the process. And then we can succeed.
The process for self-realization is very slow, but in Kali Yuga it doesn't work.
Yeah, not recommended for the people in general because it's so difficult. Requires qualification also, sattva guru, jnana, yoga.
Papa said one was achieved self-realization when he's free from the demons and material nature.
Yeah, if we realize Atma, we destroy our contaminations, etc. All the karmas get destroyed. Yeah, so we get liberation. But we don't get Krishna. It means we're trying to please the Lord, not ourselves. I said the whole process of bhakti is taking in the way ourself as the center and putting Krishna in the center. So if we're chanting to put ourselves in the center, then it is not going to work very well.
Don't
Sometimes the there are apparent sufferings which are not karma. They're arranged by the Lord in some cases. Now, other cases, some karmas are very deeply rooted, and it's more difficult to remove those karmas. Some karmas are easy to remove, some are more difficult to remove. So therefore, it says repeated bathing in the Ganga destroys the karmas. So one has to do it quite a lot to get all the karmas destroyed.
So the effect of chanting is to do offense
Yeah, offenseless. And with devotion. Then it is quicker.
The conditioned soul has been put into the material world and it is in association with the material energy. Whereby it has been in an unfavorable situation for quite a long time and is in the unfavorable situation. Whereas it doesn't have any iota of experience of the spiritual energy or the spiritual association with the Lord. So how come it can overcome this material energy?
Mercy of the Lord and devotees. Otherwise it's impossible.
But for example, we are reading Prabhupada, we listen to Krishna Bhagavata. So it seems that we have at least some knowledge
of
Krishna's power about the process.
Yeah.
So which means there is not avidya, at least some vidya is there.
Well, avidya ultimately means that we identify ourselves as the center of enjoyment.
So, Maharaj, if still there are desires for sense gratification, or we at the cross we do it, or we just have desires, which means still false ego is very much strong.
Well, it's there, yeah. But we say its effects are less. Gradually, the false ego is destroyed because in bhakti, we put Krishna in the center. So automatically, false ego must decrease whenever we do a little bit of bhakti. When we have complete devotion, then there's no ahankara there.
The argument is to get success in spiritual life, but we not always pray that we want the appreciation of pure devotees.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the next life. And take birth in any period of life, but want the appreciation of pure devotees.
Yeah.
Appreciation of pure devotees is not better than me.
Yeah, well, as I said, the cause of bhakti is devotees and the mercy of devotees. So without that, it's very difficult to succeed in the process of bhakti. Yeah, so more than anything else, that is a influential factor.
Yeah.